I'll at least read you the tweet off. Alabama football a couple of minutes ago tweeted out. Now make sure I absorb this. Amari Cooper named SEC back of the year by the Monday Morning Quarterback Club Monday evening. Okay. Hey, another accomplishment for Amari Cooper. Makes sense to me. I hope it did to you. 205-342-9904. Travis Ryer, welcome into the game from BamaOnline.com.
Now you got me totally confused, Ryan. You know, I came in here clear-minded, you know, full of thought, and now after that, I'm a little bit scrambled.
Well, I'm reading the direct tweet. It says Amari Cooper named SEC back of the year by the Monday Morning Quarterback Club Monday evening. Alabama football.
I saw that.
I think
that award has been around so long that if you're a receiver, you count as a back. You know, so that part I understand, but it is interesting that the Monday Morning Quarterback Club had a Monday night event. I guess you can do that.
Yeah.
As long as it's on Monday. Yes, there's. It's never too late.
If the trolls get a hold of that tweet, the reaction below will be worth reading. I promise you, Travis Ryer. Let's go back to New York City. Amari Cooper did not win the Heisman Trophy, but it was a good fresh breath of fresh air to see those three high character guys representing their respected schools in New York City.
Yeah, you almost got the sense that the voters had a little bit of Jameis remorse after last year. With the way it shook out. But all three guys were certainly deserving. And when you talk about Melvin Gordon and obviously Marcus Mariota and Amari Cooper, and I thought for Cooper, with the year he had, if that's only good enough to get you third place in the Heisman voting, I don't think we're going to see another wide receiver win the Heisman. We all pretty much know that it's a quarterback award, and we've seen some running backs win in the past. Obviously, Mark Ingram was able to do that, but for the most part, it's become a quarterback-centric achievement, and Mariota certainly deserving. That's not to say he isn't, but it says something, too, about it. When a guy like Amari Cooper has 115 catches for 1,656 yards and 14 touchdowns, and third is the ceiling for a wide receiver, but a great season for Amari. Again, as you said, all three finalists sort of epitomize what the award should be about, not just on the field, but off it as well.
Yeah, and that's been the way for a couple of years here with Johnny Manziel really not behaving the way that you would expect a Heisman Trophy winner to behave as well. Travis Ryer, inside the game, BamaOnline.com, but not comparing. Let me make sure I step back. When you compare him and Winston, I mean, it looks like elementary level compared to high school or college when you look at the behavior issues there. Travis, I want to go back to Lane Kiffin for a couple of minutes before we work our way back to Alabama being back out on the practice field starting tomorrow. Let's go back to Lane Kiffin. For a couple of minutes here, because you look at Amari Cooper and you look at Blake Sims, and I don't want this to sound like a shot at Blake Sims, but he's not your prototypical quarterback when you look at a 6'4", you know, gunslinger that can make all the throws, because there's throws that he struggles with. He's still growing as far as experience level at a quarterback position. But Lane Kiffin's been able to take both of those players and really elevate their game where they're now competing for a championship.
There's no doubt about it. I think the thing that Lane Kiffin has done that's probably had the biggest impact on Blake Sims is he's freed him up to just play. I don't think Blake Sims ever had a problem physically throwing a football. I think when you start adding in everything else that the position requires, it becomes maybe a little bit more difficult. So, with Kiffin, you know, allowing for them to go no huddle, which we've seen obviously benefits Blake Sims, a little more tempo, which you got to give Nick Saban some credit for kind of going against who he is or what he believes in as a football coach to allow that to happen. It's allowed Blake to reach a comfort level within which he can perform at a very, very high level. Well, this is a guy who threw for over 5,000 yards in high school. So it's not like he came from an option offense or the wing T to Alabama after playing quarterback in Gainesville, Georgia. He put up some passing numbers. So as far as actually throwing the football, we kind of had a sample size there that told us that he could do that. Again, what we've seen this year, and not to discount Blake Sims' performance because it's been outstanding, but some of the things that we've seen Alabama quarterbacks in the past be asked to handle, which means a lot of pre-snap stuff, a lot of audibling, a lot of making checks on their own, you know, it hasn't been as much of a an issue for Blake Sims this year. Doesn't mean he hasn't played well. It doesn't mean he hasn't made some good decisions, especially once the ball is snapped. But a lot of the stuff that, you know, quarterbacks are asked to perform from the huddle to the pre-snap to making checks, you know, I think that's been Lane Kiffin's biggest value probably of all.
Travis Swire right now inside the game. It's presented by Peterbrook Chocolatier here in Tuscaloosa off of McFarland Boulevard, BamaOnline.com, affiliation with CBS Sports as well. Let me go to the Ohio State game for a couple of minutes. Tom Herman is a guy that is, some reported earlier today that he was hired as the Houston coach. Well, according to some, that's been a little bit backtracked, but no doubt he's the top candidate there. It seems that he's very likely to get the job there at Houston. Not sure exactly what the difference is there that's been reported. But looking at a third-string quarterback and an offensive coordinator that could be looking at another job, this really, one more time, favors Nick Saban. Plus, you give him 30 days to prepare for a third-string quarterback.
Yeah, I think it's more about the preparation of Cardell Jones as much as anything as far as how it affects or could affect Ohio State. Let's not forget, Alabama was in the same situation with Jim McElwain, right? You know, when he was going to head out to Colorado State, the interesting aspect will be, you know, does Herman, does he hang around for the postseason or the Sugar Bowl or the championship game, or is it an immediate departure to Houston if it does indeed play out that way? Now, Alabama had the benefit of being able to keep Jim McElwain around. And the benefit of that was obvious in New Orleans. Is that was one of Mac's best games, I thought, is not only from a preparation standpoint, but also in terms of play calling and really giving, you know, A.J. McCarron the freedom to throw the football on first down when LSU thought it was, you know, obviously thought that they were going to run it. So it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out if it does indeed prove to be what everyone expects it to be, and that's with him moving on to the Houston job. It's tougher now, though, with the championship game potential being later than it was with the BCS. I mean, January 7th or somewhere around then was when you were going to play that BCS national championship game. But you win that semifinal now, now you're going to the 12th. And that may not sound like a lot, 5 days, Ryan, but it's a ton. If you're talking about trying to get a jump on things from a recruiting standpoint at your new place.
Alabama, back out on the practice field tomorrow, 3:30. You can only imagine what a week has done for the health of this team. Just no contact. I mean, going through practice, you know, we look at it, well, it's just practice. But the nicks and bruises, having a week to recover, now they'll be back out on the practice field. I expect to see a fresh group, probably a little rusty, but a fresh group tomorrow afternoon.
Legs should be a lot better collectively for this football team. And again, another thing where you hear, well, seven, eight, 9 days off your feet, for the most part, how much good can it really do? Well, it can do a ton. Not just for guys that we know about, you know, that are the obvious concerns, like a Cam Robinson or you know, some of the other guys that are beat up, Brian Vogler, our Darius Stewart at the end of the year was dealing with some stuff, and T.J. Yeldon, a lot of guys. It's the guys we don't know about or don't talk about or aren't mentioned on the practice report in terms of injuries when Nick Saban addresses the media that will benefit. Amari Cooper is going to be a lot better, even after being on the banquet circuit. For having that time off. So, and mentally, Ryan, you know, the grind of that 13-game run that they've had is immense. So retention and just absorbing what the coaching, it becomes more of a challenge, not only for the players, but for the coaches getting it across to them. So refreshed, rested, you choose the adjective, and Alabama should be that when they get back to work tomorrow.
I know this will not, this announcement will not come until after the season. If Alabama is able to capture number 16 by beating Ohio State and then walking through the national championship in Dallas, they'll make that decision, I've been told, around January the 15th. Will Muschamp go into Auburn? Alabama, I'm sure, is probably considering maybe not playing 2015, maybe setting to the side. And I'm sorry, I'm just reading the message boards. But will Muschamp being hired on the Plains, your thoughts?
I think it's a nice hire. I think as much as anything, it's going to be a beneficial hire in terms of recruiting. That's where I think Will Muschamp's a good defensive coach. I do. I think he takes some chances, and I think from that standpoint, it'll be a good pairing with Gus Malzahn, because I don't think Gus really cares how he gets the ball back as long as he gets it back. And the only time it becomes an issue is when they go 8-4. If it's not, if he's getting it back because they're giving up points, that's when it becomes an issue, when they go 8-4. If they go 11-1 and they score 55 and beat someone 55-44, it's not as big of an issue. But what Muschamp will bring, as Alabama saw this year, is an aggressive style of play, which will produce takeaways. Their takeaway numbers will go up. I don't have any doubt about that. Their negative play numbers will go up. They'll have more sacks. They'll have more tackles for loss, because that's the way he coaches, and that's what he wants. The tie-in is made to Saban a lot, and he's learned a lot of football from Saban. But in terms of their styles, I don't think they're all that similar anymore when you watch them play. They do some things conceptually that are similar. But whereas you'll see Alabama up front focus more on gap integrity and sort of holding the point so that linebackers can make the play, now, Will's wanting his guys to get up the field and make plays in the backfield. So I think, you'll see a lot of those numbers go up for Auburn. But again, I don't think he knows any more defense than Ellis Johnson knew. But where he's going to be a big upgrade over Ellis Johnson, I think, is on the recruiting trail.
Travis Ryer, right now inside the game, final question, and this just sort of hit me, and I'll make you a part of the conversation that we've had earlier. Is it possible to have an elite defense when your focus is so heavy on the offensive side of the football? For one, it sort of hinders your defense because, they score so quickly and your time of possession really goes back to put your defense in awkward positions. Can you have an elite defense with that type of system? And not just Gus Malzahn's system, but you can look at Kevin Sumlin's system and others. Can you have an elite defense when your offense is that quick in this hurry-up mode?
Well, history tells us it's tough in terms of statistical dominance. And that's where Muschamp will probably have to swallow his pride a little bit, because he is going to have his group out there on the field more. They are. And so when you're out there more, your numbers are going to be affected by that. You're going to give up more total yards. You're going to give up more first downs in all likelihood. You're probably going to give up more points. But again, I imagine the way that it's been framed for Muschamp is just get us the ball back. And I think they will do that more in terms of takeaways with Muschamp. But I'm not convinced that they're suddenly going to become a top five defense in terms of points allowed and total yards allowed and those things. But as long as they are producing turnovers and takeaways, I think Malzahn will be happy with that. It is my belief that if one – it can be the other way too, Ryan. If a defensive coach isn't all in about the other side of the ball as a head coach, then it's going to be tough, I think, for that side of the ball to be especially good. And you can talk about this situation as being almost like Muschamp is the head coach for defense, but it still comes from the top. The directive does, and the importance of it has to come from the head coach. And if the perception among the players or within the program is that it's not right there in terms of offense and kicking game, then I don't think you ever will be truly a dominant defense. But again, I don't think for what Malzahn wants to do or thinks he can do, they believe they need to be that kind of defense.
Peterbrook Chocolatier right here in Tuscaloosa. You can find them on McFarland Boulevard on the left-hand side of the road as you travel in Northport. We are 10 days away from Christmas. Gift basket, novelty items, holiday treats, chocolate assortments, those great chocolate-covered pretzels, milk chocolate-covered popcorn, all available. Peterbrook Chocolatier right on McFarland Boulevard. Travis Ryer, have an amazing week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Hey, thanks, Ryan.